I believe in myself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capital, California, with the thought for today. I believe in myself. The teacher of the famous opera singer Enrico Caruso said Caruso had no voice at all and could not sing. How interesting, isn't it? However, Caruso sang. What gave him the incentive or the ability to sing when his teacher told him he couldn't sing? We were speaking about students in school and how teachers have many students to work with, and they have to grade on the curve. And some people are at the bottom of the curve, and some people are at the top of the curve, and most of them are at the middle of the curve, because that's just the way they grade. So they have 30 students, and the ability, you know what the curve is? The curve is the teacher's ability to teach. Because how can you say that some students are great and some students are less and some students are the middle, when who is the teacher teaching for? Apparently for the best, for the top ones, and not taking into consideration the motivation needed by the other ones. And interesting thought just flashed through my mind. Why do we have so many average people in the world? Wouldn't it be interesting if all the average people were the geniuses, and all of the geniuses who are limited in number were just the average people or the lesser people? Interesting, isn't it? Now, why is it that the geniuses are the geniuses? Why is it that the top students are the top students? Now, I will tell you. I know it's been on your mind all your life. You were wondering, why are the top students the top students? Well, the top students are the top students because they believe in themselves. They don't care. Now, let's just throw these two, Edison and Einstein. We'll throw those two in there. Two of the top brains of the world, thinkers, dynamic people. And by their teachers, they were thought to be nothing. And because the teachers could not keep up with their scale of understanding. Mm-hmm. And I told a story about this young man who was in Duluth, Minnesota. Todd was his name. And his father was my student up there. And Todd had attended my activities and knew me and sort of accept me. Anyhow, the father wanted to be a stockbroker. And he didn't do well in math, and so he said, what am I going to do? I got to take the test. I said, just say, I know that I know that I know, and God in me knows the answer, and you'll do the test just fine. But that's not just cheating. That's not right. I said, it's not cheating. God does know the answer. I said, why not tune in, And so, okay, he did, and he passed. Well, while I was talking to the father, the son was standing in the other room. He was like 14 or 15, and he didn't want to be known to be interested in this stuff, And so as he was standing there listening, he had to go to school and take an algebra test the next day. So he went to school the next day. I know that I know that I know. God in me knows the answer. Just flippantly going along like that. And he went into his class, and he took the test, and he wrote down the answers. And then the teacher called the father in. He cheated. He got 100%. He never had 100% in his life. That's what the teacher said. And so they had a big discussion about it. And so the teacher says, I'm failing him. And the father says, well, just a minute. Where did he get the answers? Well, in algebra, you're supposed to write down how you got to it, not just the answer. You have to write down the procedure that you used to get to each answer. That's just as important as the answer. And so he didn't do that. He just wrote down the answers, because that's what she said. Give me your answers and turn this in, So the teacher wanted to fail him, regardless that he was, aced it out. And so they called in the principal. And the principal says, well, the only thing that is right for her to do is just give them the test again. And teacher says, no, I won't. And the principal says, yes, you will. And so they gave him the test again. And before he took the test, he said, I know that I know, to himself, I know that I know that I know, God in me knows the answer. And wrote it down, wrote down how he got to the answer, and did the whole, perfect again. And, you know, they didn't believe it. Because, but the kid was just, you know, flippant about it. He let the divine in him answer the question, and he did it. Now, you see, if we could teach our children to think in this way, to think in this free access way, if I give you a pass on the bus, what will you do with the pass? You will ride the bus. And you probably ride the bus more often than you would ride it if you didn't have a pass. You would ride the bus more often than if you didn't have the pass, because you had free access. Now, if we would teach the children of this world, of our universe, that they have free access to all knowledge within them, that's what we say, revealing it, you know, you already know it, revealing it, free access to all knowledge within them, do you think they would use it more often? Mm-hmm. I believe so. I believe so. Caruso had a problem that nobody else could solve. His teacher said he couldn't sing, but he liked to sing. He liked to sing, and so he sang. And he walked up and down the street, he was singing. He went out in the fields, and he was singing. He was working with whatever his mommy told him to do, and he was singing. And he was singing. And he was singing. You know, his voice was just radiant with magic and music. And every day that he sang, it became better and better and better. He was tuned in. He was tuned in to his inner divine reality. And he sang from that inner divine reality. He didn't know that. You know, he didn't have those words for it. But he sang from his inner divine reality. And so the teacher's words were like nothing. Because he didn't take it as a hit on the head, you can't sing. He said, okay. You know, you don't want to teach me? You're throwing away money? That's okay. So he sang for himself. And eventually he took lessons again, of course, you know, and became one of the greatest opera singers of the world, you know, mm-hmm. Well known by people who don't even know opera singers. Yeah, right. So, Enrico Caruso, a voice to remember. But you see, it's the voice. Now, as I often refer to my black friends, they have voices that are the most gorgeous voices you could ever want. Now, why are they so blessed? They're so blessed because they don't know any different. They just start singing and enjoying it and having fun. And their mother and father doesn't say, shut up, you know, like most parents do. Let's have a little peace around this house. Why should we have peace around the house, you know? And a lot of kids like to play games like that, you know? And we're five of us kids. We all had musical instruments, and we were all fooling around. We were just noisy as could be, but we had fun. We had fun. We never did anything with our music, but we had fun. And but I played in the high school band, and I played I sang in the a cappella choir, and I was on stage with the all sorts of corollaires, singing and television and all that sort of stuff. I mean, who knows? I didn't go on to fame and fortune with it, but I went on to fun and fantastic stuff with it, you know. But this is what it's all about, to be yourself and have fun, to live who you are. You see, when you believe in yourself, you don't go, I believe in myself and I'm going to do this. You don't do that. When you believe in yourself, you just go do it. Like Ingeborg here, our dear friend from Rattenberg, Deutschland, Germany, she received a gift. She has a modest income, and she received a gift of a trip to Turkey, from Germany to Turkey. And so she really had no interest in going to Turkey. You understand that? She had no interest in going to Turkey. So the trip was really not too interesting to her, but it's nice. So she gave it away to a friend who did have an interest in going to Turkey. And in the process of giving it away, she gave it away. But then she thought of all her other friends who might like to go. And she thought, gee, I should have given it to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. But you see, once the gift is given, there's no other choice. There's no other decision. It's over with. It's not your gift anymore. You've given it. Now, would you like a drink of water? Here's a drink of water. You drink the drink of water. Oh, no, I want to give that to somebody else. It's already in your tummy, you know. And so there's no way that you could do anything about that. But this is how we are. We sometimes want to give away a gift two or three times. I could have given it to so-and-so, and wouldn't so-and-so have enjoyed it? And so let it alone. But believe in yourself. Just believe in yourself. And you see, when you believe in yourself, you're using that inner wisdom that you are, that inner genius that you are, and you're just having a ball. Life is a joy. Now, Ellen was saying yesterday that when people edit other people's writings too much, they lose their enthusiasm for writing. And I'm going to give Ellen a test. I have the writings of a man, four parts, and each part has over 10,000 words in it. That's longer than Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Each part has 10,000, and it is decent. You read it? Yeah, that's enough. It's decent, but the man is trying to make a point, and he's making a point in the wrong way. He's making a point of how families should be run, how education should be run, how things should be run. But in the process, he's being the very thing he says it should not be, he's being. And that's dogmatic, dictatorial. The very thing he says it should not be. And I am amused as I read it, you know. And then he's very strong. And this stuff is basically good. It's basically good. It just has a few little things that slip away from the philosophy that we're learning. And I go over it, and I am fatigued because I don't want to change too much in it. But it needs a lot of changing, you know. And so I change a little here and there, and next thing you know, I got the whole thing changed. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. And then, what am I going to do? So, when you're working with something, you have two choices to do it. If, for instance, you're editing it. Are you editing it so that it is grammatically and linguistically correct? Or are you editing it so that it is philosophically correct? Or even a third thing. Or are you editing it so that the person will come through looking like a nice person? You know. Now, why are you editing it? Well, any one of those things would be basically the wrong reason. Because the person should be intellectually astute enough to write well, okay? He should be in our philosophy strongly enough to write the philosophy into it, you know. And he should also have no axes to grind. You see, when you have an axe to grind, that means you have some problem in your mind. You have some problem that needs to be solved. Now, when the juries are gathered for a crime, and say the crime is a bank robber, and the jurors are questioned, do you have a bank robber in your history? Do you have a bank robber in your family? Have you ever known a bank robber? Because they don't want anybody who knew it, or you know. Did the bank robber ever rob a bank and then you didn't get your money back? You know, they want to know all these things. And you see, if you have a preconceived attitude, you see, if you have a bias, they don't want you on the jury because you will not judge based solely on the evidence of the case. You follow me? And so this is the case here when you write a book or when you write something. You stay specifically with whatever it is you're doing. Now, his theme is my
dynasty,
my real family, that's his title. And in that, he's talking about this part of the world, that part of the world. He's talking about these people over here and these people over here. He's talking about many, many things. And he doesn't keep it to his family. And then he makes allusions where he's talking specifically to about his family. And then he's making other allusions where he's not talking about his family. Now, he's good. He's good. He's very good. And he writes very well. He has a nice flow to him. But he just needs a very big eraser. Because when you have an axe to grind, when you have certain things in your own personal life that you're trying to say that you're not talking about, it's hard. It's hard. So, I believe in myself. And if you believe in yourself, do you know what you'll do? You will write well. You will sing well. You will have a good time. Have you ever heard me in the bathtub? Have you ever heard me singing in the shower? I am good. I am very good. And I am the only one I'm pleasing. Now, other people may hear me sing in the shower and say, wow, you know, what a voice, you know. And they don't tell me that, but they may. And I may hear other people singing. And I say, wow, what a lovely voice you have. My goodness, how gracious and how beautiful. Oh, no. If you don't say, thank you. I sing for my pleasure. And that's okay. People often say that, you know, this person won't be a good singer. And all you have to do is listen to the television and radio and hear the type of singing that goes on, and they're being paid very much money for that. And you say, who's the judge? The dollars of the people who come in and buy their tickets for the rock concerts and for whatever, you know. And who gives them a gold label, which means they sell so many million copies. Wow, you know, I'd love to sell millions of copies of our discussions and talks. But of course, it's a different, it reaches a different aspect of a person. Music touches the heart and soul of a person. And when you have music of rock and roll, it knocks out the intelligence and just takes the heart and soul. And that's okay. But people buy it by the scads, by the tons, you know, because it talks to their inner vibrations. Have you ever heard of rap music?
Yes.
Rap music is where you take some phrases. He was a happy, happy guy, and in his happy way, he did his, the things that made him happy every single day. And on the way in the day, that's rapping, you know. And it's talking generally about nothing, but yet quite intelligently, quite remarkably, with beautiful rhyming and with little attitudes in it that are the singer's attitudes that come through quite strongly. But it's really an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I have no joy in listening to it myself, but it's an amazing thing. So the man or woman who raps believes in themselves. They just listen to their inner, I know that I know that I know, and they have all this rhyming rhythm that comes out. I mean, the people who are doing this are not necessarily the most intelligent people, but they are the most brilliant people who listen to the divine within them. And they just let it flow. So, if I believe in myself, I can accomplish anything. And who do I accomplish it for? Sylvia?
Myself.
Right. Who do you accomplish it for?
Me.
Yourself alone. Me. There's nobody else you're accomplishing it for. And who are you pleasing?
Myself.
Yeah?
Myself.
You betcha.
Sakinissa. Myself.
They're very good. But who are you pleasing? You're pleasing yourself. And so if you miss a note, so what? Yeah? If you don't quite reach it, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, re, mi. You know, and who cares? You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for yourself. See? So do it for yourself. Nowadays, we often gaze at women over 50 That's a cute little song, isn't it? So, you all have a beautiful day, and you know that I love you very much, and you know that I love you, 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 and that sort of stuff.
I love you.
I love you.